Good morning. The message for today was prepared for us by the Reverend Joel Schirbino. He has entitled it, Inspired. Joel started his ministry at the Paris, Ontario Presbyterian Church in June 2006. Excuse me. Before arriving in Paris, Joel, along with his family, lived in Malawi, Africa, where for 3 years he served as the associate pastor at St. Columba Church, Church of Central Africa Presbyterian and Blantyre Synod. At the same time, he served as the associate prison chaplain for Blantyre Synod. Joel has recently been appointed as the Malawi Liaison for International Ministries with the Presbyterian Church of Canada. Joel is married to Rebecca Schirbino, co-founder and co-director of the Raw Soup Social Enterprise. While in Malawi, she worked with PWS&D partners, assisting with reporting and proposal development. She and Joel are the proud parents of Isaac, Masika, and Canaan. Would it be correct to assume we have all felt overwhelmed? I'm sure you have all found yourselves in a situation where you initially felt it was just too much. Sometimes the entire world situation feels like too much. Sometimes it's health-related or involves financial problems, or perhaps work-related overload. I know at times there are situations that seem far beyond my reach. I am left wondering, what can I possibly do? Well, let me give you an example. Rebecca Schirbino worked with International Ministries for 4 years in Malawi. She is now involved with the Raw Soup Social Enterprise. Listen as she tells you part of her story. I can remember moving back to Canada. At the time, we had 3 young kids, and I was a bit at odds where to invest my time. I wanted to make an impact, and I had the time since I was not in the workforce. I began to look for new ways to get involved in the community and the church. I had been concerned about a young girl at our church. She had graduated from high school and lived with 2 parents living on the Ontario Disability Support Program. She seemed to be heading in the same direction as her parents because of some developmental disabilities and a lack of support. I figured I could get involved by helping her find work. For the next year, I drove her twice a week to a job training program and supported her as she tried to gain employment. After a year of hard work and kilometers on my car, no job was found. Amanda was unable to find work. Because of her developmental disability, she is unable to work at the speed required for most jobs and struggles with multitasking in a fast-paced environment. This was very frustrating because Amanda really wanted to work and was a loyal and committed person heading quickly in a bad direction. But what could I do? I had tried and it didn't work out. Then one night, my friend and I started to talk about this situation and brainstorm ideas for how we could find a viable solution. After many more conversations, we had an idea. We approached our congregation in Paris Presbyterian Church to see if they would support a ministry initiative to create employment for people with disabilities. The concept was for people just like Amanda, who wanted to work but were unable to find a work environment to fit their needs. The vehicle for providing jobs was to employ people to cook gourmet soup that would be sold in the community. Fast forward 2 years later, and Raw Carrot is thriving. With 7 part-time employees, their not-for-profit business is making a big difference in the lives of staff. If asked, Rebecca would say the trigger point was being overwhelmed. She wondered, what could I possibly do? She then stepped out in faith and did something. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, we see the makings of one of the great realities of following Jesus. Jesus does not only get our attention in moments when we feel overwhelmed, but he uses that feeling as a catalyst for inspiration. Let us turn back to the passage that was just read and begin to look for some clues that will show us how we can partner with Jesus to make a difference. Jesus had been busy healing a variety of people. Now he and his disciples were looking for a little R&R. The crowds, however, had other ideas. They tracked him down. Imagine thousands of people coming toward you. We often think of this as the feeding of the 5,000, but that is not fully correct. Only the men were counted in the 5,000. There were women and children present as well, Matthew 14:21. So imagine, say, 15 to 20,000 people coming toward you. What does Jesus do? He turns to Philip and says, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Can you imagine if you were Philip? I would be freaking out. I would be thinking, "Why are you asking me? Go ask Peter. He often has the answers." In Philip's response, we see that he felt the situation was beyond him. There was no real, tangible solution. Philip is overwhelmed. He doesn't want to say no, so what does he do? The same thing I often do when I am overwhelmed. He makes excuses. Do you ever do that? You see a circumstance or a situation, and immediately your mind races into how there is no way you could have an impact. This is pretty much what Philip did when he replied to Jesus, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Translation, no way, can't be done. But the story doesn't end there, does it? No, Andrew managed to find a boy with a small lunch, like the equivalent to a modern-day Happy Meal, a fillet of fish. He sort of reluctantly gives it to Jesus. Sorry. I can understand why. I mean, Philip just crunched the numbers. It would take 6 months of a person's wages to feed everyone. Think about that for a second. And here is Andrew offering a boy's lunch. I wonder if he sort of said this under his breath. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they amongst so many people? I can't believe it was offered with much confidence. I love the honesty of this story. Can't you see yourself there? At times we act like Philip. We are overwhelmed by the circumstances. So instead of doing anything, we make excuses. Maybe thinking that Jesus will sort it out. Whereas at other times, we may be like Andrew. We have a little to give, but we're not sure it will make a difference. The attempt is too small. Well, Jesus takes the happy meal. He blesses it. He gives it out. We all know where this is going. Not only does everyone eat, but there are leftovers. So where does that leave us? Where is our takeaway? For me, the game changer is verse 6. John, the one who recorded this miracle, must have had a follow-up conversation with Jesus afterwards. And I'm curious as to what would have been said. I wonder if it may have gone something like this. Jesus, that was incredible. All those people ate, and all you had to start with was a boy's lunch. Amazing. But Jesus, tell me seriously, what was up with the conversation with Philip? And it would have been here that Jesus let him in on a little secret. John, I already had in mind what I was going to do. If you go back and see the details, you begin to realize that Jesus had already tipped his hand when he asked Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread?" Philip was not being asked to do this on his own. When Jesus told John he already had a plan, it was as much for our benefit as it was for John's. Sometimes we need to help to shift our perspective into a different light. When we find ourselves in situations that seem beyond what we can do, we should pause and think about this story. Perhaps Jesus' request is an invitation to join him. Jesus is leaning in to see if we will join him as he brings around about full transformation. The way I see it is that when we feel overwhelmed, we can either respond like Philip with excuses or like Andrew and start looking for solutions. This one miracle is yet another example of how much Jesus values partnership, a truth we see throughout the Bible. Could Jesus have fed these people on his own? Absolutely. But he chooses to seek others to join him. I believe that Jesus asked Philip not to put him on the spot, but to see if he would join him to make a difference. And you know what? Jesus has not changed his ways. He desires to work with you and me to bring about change in the world. Will you join with Jesus to make a difference? What this miracle reminds us of is how changes often happen in the midst of challenges. When we begin to see the possibilities in the challenges we face, we can become inspired. Let me share two examples of inspired work in this church, WMS, AMS, and our denomination. In the first example, in Guatemala, indigenous Mi'kmaq people living in the western highlands of the country have a rich culture, yet face discrimination and deep-rooted poverty born out of decades of civil war. A lack of economic opportunities and environmental concerns such as climate change, encroaching mining operations, and deforestation make it difficult for families to break cycles of poverty. In this area, food insecurity is a daily concern because 95% of the population lives on less than $2 a day, and over 75% of children under the age of 5 suffer from chronic malnutrition. Fortunately, we have the ability to change the lives of these families. The WMS is encouraging Presbyterians to support PWSND's food security project in Guatemala through the society. As you probably know, our WMS, I'm in trouble with that, had the opportunity to organize a Together We Can campaign to help the Mi'kmaq. Our initial target was $1,000, but through your generation, we were able to contribute $2,005. The proceeds multiplied, just like the loaves and fishes. This Together We Can project will enable families in Guatemala to eat more and better food by improving agricultural practices that will help the soil produce more abundantly. Growing a variety of crops, including fruits, vegetables, and protein-rich beans, and learning how to cook them, will have a healthy nutritional impact on families. Indigenous women in Guatemala are also learning about land rights, empowerment, and cultural identity to provide hope and opportunity for their future. Our second example is also a Together We Can project called Arise Ministry. In Canada, we see many challenges too. Our Aboriginal population is misrepresented in our legal system. Our women are still not proportionally represented in executive positions. We have children that go to school hungry many days a week. Feeling overwhelmed is certainly justified. In response to a critical need in Toronto for a program that intentionally supports the city's sex workers, Arise Ministry was created. Women involved in the sex trade are one of the city's most marginalized and victimized populations. Talk about overwhelming. Listen to some of the statistics. Women and girls together account for 75% of all trafficking victims detected globally, according to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. Plus, according to the UN, trafficking for the purpose of sexual exploitation accounts for 58% of all trafficking cases detected globally. So what about Canada? Studies on human trafficking conclude that the majority of people trafficked within Canada are Aboriginal women and children. Those involved in the sex trade, some having been turned out into prostitution at 13 years old or younger, have been devalued through coercion, exploitation, abuse, isolation, and prejudice. It is the hope of this program to empower these individuals through relationships and goal setting so that they might be able to advocate for themselves and reclaim their lives. Through this Together We Can project and other support, Arise Ministries provides case management for up to 5 women per month, provides weekly street outreach, and builds relationships with organizations that serve at-risk children and youth with the hope of preventing involvement in the sex trade. Good can come out of challenges if we focus our overwhelmed feeling into some type of action. So, what about us? Will we allow Jesus to use our lives as we partner with him? Consider these next steps. Step 1, what is personally going on in your life? Are there situations around you that seem to be a bit too much for you to bear? Do you wonder if there's anything you can do? God is bringing something or someone to your attention. Remember Andrew? See what you have. Start there. Starting is way better than making excuses. And never forget, Jesus values partnership, and no gift is insignificant when placed in the hands of Jesus. Step 2, look at the church. Sure, we see the challenges ahead. We are shrinking in numbers, or we are getting older. All these obstacles may be true, and if we are really honest, the temptation is to make excuses. Try taking a different approach and believe that Jesus wants to partner with us. Incredible things happen when we stop making excuses and begin to look for solutions. Examining our personal life and our church will require courage. It will mean being stretched. Jesus came into this world, died for our sake, and then rose again, not so that we will be comfortable, but so that we will live the abundant life. And for me, that takes courage as we live by faith. What can you do? Better yet, what can we do? The St. Andrews Kamloops WMS has decided to work on a new project this year through a group called Save the Mothers. This organization works to aid mothers giving birth in Uganda. At present, many women in labor are lying and sometimes dying on the floors of facilities that are overcrowded and under-resourced. No beds are available for them to deliver their babies. Right now, we are gathering more information. We are inviting this congregation to once again support our efforts to be part of the solution. No excuses. We are excited about this new project, and we'll be letting you know more about it shortly. When we are participating, we are being stretched by God, which will not only change our lives, but will have an impact on others. Amen.